Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. 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 Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my room. See, that's my roster. You know, I just been parsed up. I've been high, my shit been parsed up. I've been high, my shit been
parsed. Hello, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday! Oh my God, I can't believe it's Tuesday again.
I know, I feel like we do this every other day. So weird.
These weeks have been going by so quickly, and the time has been going by. I looked at a time of 4 o'clock, and then I looked back at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I never even know, like, what day it is.
I know, it's so crazy. Exactly. It is December already. I cannot believe it. It's about to be 2021.
Not only is it December, it's like the middle of December.
I know. This is crazy. Well, how's your holiday shopping going?
Oh, I don't even want to say because I feel bad because Amazon is my best friend, and I know some people have an issue with Amazon, but I sure like Amazon.
What's the issue with Amazon?
Because they don't treat their employees right, and they're taking over the world and all this other stuff.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you just, you know. You gotta focus on what means what to you. So, some people got issues with it. Some people are happy with it. You know.
Yeah.
They're taking over because it's in demand, and you know those that have an issue with it come up with something that is, you know, equivalent or better.
You
can't complain without having a solution.
Plan. Right, and that's the worst thing. Like, people, there's a lot of other ways that we could do things, and people don't want to support small businesses. They don't want to do certain things. So, you know, until we're ready to fix it, we should not be complaining.
But it's the small businesses that make up Amazon. Like, Amazon really, like, gets people's, like, things out there, and it makes it accessible for everybody.
As true as that is, as someone that sells a book on Amazon, they really do take a large chunk of what you earn. Sometimes you barely see 30% of, you know, I mean, it's great, and it's a way to get your businesses and books and all these different things out there, but they do take a pretty penny when it comes to businesses.
Jeez.
So, I mean, I get it, but this is 2020. What else are we going to do? Like, nobody's even going places anymore. Everybody's shopping online, so.
That's true.
So what are you going to do?
They have their own planes. They have trucks. They have everything. Like, they're taking over. Their stock is ridiculous. It's, like, over $3,000.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
It's hard.
Imagine if you would have bought Amazon stock in 1994. I think it was 1994. Imagine if you would have bought Amazon stock. Like,
I know.
Crazy.
Nobody knew it was going to blow up the way it did. Once they did that Prime, they got their own channel, like TV channel, like subscription. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
they can get
crazy
things to you the next day.
Yep. And that's the worst thing. Oh, my God. Oh, when they bought Whole Foods, like, when I tell you, when you go shopping, you can go, and as long as you spend that, well, for Prime, I guess, I don't know if it's for everything, but when you can go grocery shopping at Whole Foods and they will deliver it to your door within 2 hours.
It's the best thing for COVID, since COVID, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
not even
that's
having to go outside.
Yeah, but that's why he's set to be a trillionaire, but I don't know the year, but he's set to be the first trillionaire, so.
Yeah.
And we all helped him get there. We all helped
yeah.
him get there.
Mm-hmm. Little by little.
But it's just bad because we benefit, but he and you know, people we benefit much more than we do.
Oh, absolutely. There's no comparison. It's nice the deals that we get for what it used to be, like trying to buy it in stores. You can go to Amazon and get it for a better price, but the amount of money hand over fist that he's making, I mean, it doesn't even make any sense at all.
But that's why his wife was able to leave him, and he still is one of the richest men in the world. And his wife got half, rightfully so, because she helped to build his empire, but got half of what he owns, and he's still like one of the richest people in the world.
Yeah, no, but that.
But
is,
as long as we're getting what we need, right?
Yeah, I mean it's hard. It's like a give and take. It's, you know,
catch 22.
You gotta figure out what is important to you and what's not important to you. And what's the most important to you, what makes a difference in your life, the things that make a change within yourself, just figure out and evaluate what is important to you. We just gotta, you know, sometimes we focus so much on things that are not even important to us, and you're spending so much time and energy on something that doesn't mean anything to us, doesn't make a difference in our lives. And it's like, we just gotta focus on what's going to make us happy, what's going to make us the most content. Because when you think about it, I mean, the amount of health-related issues, everything that happened with COVID, everything, like all the natural disasters, like tomorrow literally is not promised to us. And, you know, if today were to be your last day, are you happy with how you've left your life?
And most people
are not. Yeah. But you can make changes. You don't have to
complain.
Yeah, but
people would rather complain than make a change.
Well, people love complaints. People equate complaints to sort of like building rapport with somebody. Like if you both can complain and be upset about the same thing, then, you know, you guys get each other. And it's the sort of way in which it's a socialization, you know, and it's the norm. It's like, if you're not complaining, what's wrong with you? You think you all that. You must have the best life ever. And it's like, no, you don't have to complain about everything, and you don't have to jump on each other's bandwagon to complain about something.
It's sad because I found myself before complaining just because everybody else is doing it. Like, I found myself doing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, I need to exit this conversation, because if I'm just saying this, and, you know, it's not on purpose. It's just like everybody's talking about it, and you're like, oh, yeah. And then you realize, wait a second, that is – none of that is true. Like, none of these feelings that I'm saying I'm feeling are true.
Yeah. You get caught up within –
but you just got to acknowledge it.
Yeah. But it's like, life is so short.
This year was crazy though, because a lot of people this year was crazy because your mother is hilarious. Your mother's hilarious.
You gotta learn how to talk in text. You're like your mother.
Yeah, no.
She gotta when she first got the cell phone, she had to stop in the street. She couldn't walk and talk at the same time.
No, I just think it's funny. That's why she threw me off. I couldn't even, like, tell me what. Oh, okay. She's hilarious. But I was going to say that I have wrote something down just because I didn't want to forget to say it. And it has to do with what we were talking about. And I was saying that this year we really had to sit with ourselves, and we couldn't use people and trips and go places to get our minds off of what was going on. Like, we all had to sit in our house and sit with our troubles and figure out, you know, what we were going to do to make ourselves better, because there was nothing else that you could do. A lot of people have parties and go on trips. They go on trips. They go to restaurants and have brunch every day just so that they could feel important and feel like they have something to do. And
yeah,
we couldn't do any of that this year. We couldn't go on trips to get away from our problems. You know, and it's sad because a lot of people that drank to excess now, and they smoked and they did all these things to excess because they didn't have anything else to do. So people had issues with, they just did it too
mm-hmm.
much because there was no, you know, there was nothing else to do. And even if you wanted to do
yeah.
it, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the
yeah.
same. Oh, look who's here. It wasn't the same.
Well,
so,
it
oh,
just
hello,
made.
Sir.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Father.
Oh, Cap family.
Hello, sir. They came too fast.
But yeah, no,
about the year.
Yeah.
We were just talking about what was going on with the year and how we were all feeling. And I was saying that we all had to sit with ourselves because we didn't have anywhere to go. We couldn't use things like trips and lunches and brunches and vacations. We couldn't use it as an excuse to become better and to get to know ourselves this year. We you know, we had to actually sit with ourselves in our homes and
mm-hmm.
think about who we are and who we wanted to be. Just catching
yeah.
you up.
No, it definitely, this year, you know, just to sum it up, it's just been an experience. And like Daddy always says, you learn, take the best and leave the rest. And that's what we have to do. You know, no more complaining, no more, you know, this is a joyous occasion. We've come so far. We've learned so much. You know, what did you learn about yourself within these last couple of months? You know, since the whole pandemic, it gave you a chance to really sit down and evaluate your life. And now is the time to
mm-hmm.
make those changes. It's never too late. Like career change, if you want to go into something that you were thinking about prior to and you weren't too sure, this is a time to realize that tomorrow's not promised. You have to move in that direction of where you ultimately want to be. And, you know, what makes you happy and what makes you feel the best, and that's where you have to move towards. Be around positive people. If a person is negative, constantly talking negative, like you were saying prior, Sasha, you know, you are in a conversation
mm-hmm.
with people who were just complaining, and it's like if you keep those people around you, you yourself start to complain, and you absorb, you know, that sort of personality. So, you know, exit left. Exit stage left on those sort of situations. Keep only positive people around you, and you know that will.
One of my favorite things.
Your positivity will be their positivity, and their positivity will be yours.
Like what you said, what you had just said, it goes along with one of my favorite things to say, that you can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you. And I think that when you actually, like, oh, I understand, when you
mm-hmm.
understand really what that means, it really is one of the most significant things. And, like, you can't change the people that are around you. You can't change them. You can't change their
yeah.
personality. You can't change who they are. You can't change what they respect and what they don't respect. But you can change the people that you have around you. So, like, that is the most amazing thing, because sometimes we sit and look at the people that are in our life and realize that we have them in here for a reason, but they don't belong
mm-hmm.
here anymore. And
mm-hmm.
I learned that this year. Like, that was one of the
yeah.
hardest lessons that I learned this year. But it's so important for your own sanity that you fill your life with people that appreciate you and know you and know your heart and know, you know, who you are. Those are the type of people that should be in your life. And that, like, I've learned
mm-hmm.
that significantly this year.
Absolutely. It's so important. And, you know, once you start to realize, once you become in tune with how you're feeling, you'll start to say, oh, this person make me feel a little weird, like a little angry, upset, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe I just don't need to have this person around me, or not as often, or, you know, because people come in your life for reasons and seasons. You know, they may be in your life to teach you a lesson, and, you know, you keep trying to keep them in your life, and they're doing nothing but bringing you down. And you have to realize that a lot of times, you know, you may be a crutch, they may be a crutch. You may feel like you feel obligated to be around this person or keep them in your circle, but sometimes it's just that expiration date, you know, it's past that expiration date, and you just have to be a distant memory, and it doesn't have to be a negative parting of ways. It could be a respectful, mutual agreement that this person
amicable.
May not be amicable. There you go. That's the word. You know, it's just a situation that if they're not uplifting you, then you got to see them to the door. Don't let the Lord hit you where the good Lord split you. Adios. See you later. Best of luck.
Seriously.
Daddy, what you think?
This has been a 2020 year. Clear vision. I think everybody has revealed themselves, not only to other people, but to themselves. And I think this has just been, and I include myself also, because there are a lot of things I had to adjust. It's just, you know, when you have these types of situations, and I think that over the past couple of years, there's been such a sense of affluence, particularly here in the United States, where people didn't really have to struggle for a lot of things. I'm not talking about personal things. I'm just talking about in general. And, you know, when I look at, and I totally understand people trying to make money. I understand the restaurants. I understand that, you know, folk got to make money, and people who are into being a restaurateur, and that's your way of paying your bills and doing everything. This has been devastating for you. People who are waiting in life. You know, it has really been very devastating, but it's also been learning. So, Kondi K, when you say, what have you learned? Look at how we literally have changed the streets of the United States and parts of the world, particularly here in the United States, because we had outdoor dining, but not on the level that we have it now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's wonderful. I love that.
I think it's phenomenal the way in which the human being in their consciousness has been able to adapt to these new things. It's really phenomenal. The wearing of masks and the other things that we've had to do to adjust to what we've gone through, I find it really, it's a testament to consciousness. And we all have to take, there is a lot that we have suffered. And for all those who have lost loved ones or who have become ill themselves, you know, I send my regard, my respect, and I understand the pain that you are going through. But as a human family, we have really adjusted to this. And to peoples of African descent, let this be a lesson to us. Let us now see for sure. It's been said all the time, but we've never seen it as blaringly as we have now. When white folks sneeze, black folk get pneumonia. Things don't hit black people. We have been given the least in terms of how to survive. Yet despite that, we still survive. So every black person out there should celebrate their existence. Because this is shown. We have the worst medical centers, the most inferior, and with exceptions to the rule, I don't mean to say this in the absolute form that it's everybody. But I can tell you the Board of Education. I can tell you something about the Board of Education. And it could apply to the medical field and every other field that services the black community. Some of the most inferior teachers, well, let me start off positive. Some of the greatest teachers I've ever met taught in the Bronx. Some of the most inferior, ill-equipped teachers have been flushed out of their white neighborhoods. And our community has become the cesspool for their trash.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true for doctors. A lot of the doctors that are in the black community.
Yes. Working in the healthcare field, working in the hospitals, working in some of the top hospitals in New York City.
And you worked at all the top ones.
And another thing.
Yes. I can tell you firsthand experiences that I've had. And I'm just like, I got to look at myself. I'm like, where's Ashton Kutcher? Am I being punked? Because this, that, everything that you take a moral and ethical, you know, pledge to do is the total opposite of what
care.
Is often done.
They don't care.
And they fulfill it in their own neighborhoods.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
They're held accountable in their neighborhood.
Yep. Exactly.
But not enough.
We have to start holding them accountable. We have to start holding them accountable. We do not.
Well,
like in Manhattan, in Manhattan, their streets. But wait, their streets that the MTA is not even allowed to drive down because the community says they do not want city buses driving down that street. We do not care as much as, like, other people. Like, we make fun of Karens, but they make sure that stuff happens. Like, there are literally streets that MTA buses are not allowed to drive down. Like, the community has gotten together and said, your bus, I don't care if we live in your city, your bus is not allowed to come down our street.
But
and
that goes along with,
we
but that
need
goes
to start
along
caring.
With, no,
more.
It's not about caring. It's about understanding our rights and understanding what we can and cannot request. You see, you know, when you go to certain neighborhoods, they complain about everything. They report everything, so everything gets done. They know their rights. They know what they're entitled to. A lot of times, you know, in the neighborhoods that you see that are not taken care of, you see trash everywhere. You see when it snows, the snow's not picked up. It's iced over. You know, incidents occur. And it's like because they don't know, a lot of them, they don't know their rights, and they don't feel like they can be entitled to their rights. You know, they sometimes call attention to a situation, and the police may end up bringing them in versus you realizing that they were in the right. Like, they don't, once you understand your rights, and once you, you know, like Daddy always said, carry around your commandments. Know your rights. Know what you're entitled to, and if you get pulled over, know what to say and what to do versus being ill-prepared and not understanding.
Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, and I'm going to go off field, but it's still appropriate to what we're talking about. When I worked in District 9 in the Bronx, there were certain rules. In certain neighborhoods in North Bronx, you have communities that are from Eastern and Western Europe. I'll go back to what I'm going to say. In District 9, we had a number of children that had recently arrived from West Africa, and they spoke the Mende language, which is basically like the Mandingo West African language. And they wanted to put the children in special ed. And I said, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with their learning capacity. It's that you're speaking to them in English and they speak Mende. And so they said, well, we don't know what we're going to do. So I started doing research. I went down to the Board of Ed and Central Board down in Brooklyn, and I came up with a rule that had nothing to do with necessarily the particular language. It had to do with languages. If you had 10 children in a school that spoke a particular language that was different from the major, because for us, Spanish and English were the two languages in the Bronx. But what I uncovered was that there were people that fought for the rights of people from Albania and from Slovenia that lived in North Bronx. And they had teachers by law. If you have 10 children in a school building that speak a language, you must have a teacher of that language there. That's the law. Northwest Bronx, where the predominantly European, Eastern, and they're not that rich. They're just as challenged as the African and Hispanic community.
But when you
know
your rights.
For each other. When you know your rights. They had people in the school that were English speaking. They were Albanian, but they did not speak Albanian. But they found people who could teach the children.
Mm-hmm.
When I found that law out, I went down and I went through the school. There's something known as the ethnic census report that was taken during the year that tells you ethnically who's in the school. I found a school with 12 Mende-speaking children.
Mm.
And do you know they had the nerve to try to stop me
mm-hmm.
from enforcing mm. that law? They will break the law, their own law, they will
mm-hmm.
break
of
when
course.
It comes to us. And I
yep.
brought them up on charges.
Yep. Yep.
That's why they gave me such hell the last 7 years of my career, because a lot of them
yeah.
folks remembered me. I said, look, I will take you to court.
Mm-hmm.
So they went in, and they did their diligence, and then they said they couldn't find a teacher with Mende. I said, give me the permission to find that person.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, hell no, we ain't going to let him, because he's going to bring a Mende-speaking Malcolm X up in here. So they said, no, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. I said, well, you better make sure you do, because I visit that school frequently. I'm going to be looking, and I'm going to give you a week. And, in fact, I said, here's the other thing I used to always tell y'all. I wrote a letter. See, this was before computer. I wrote a letter, and I requested, as director of multicultural education, that I be immediately notified when that teacher was
mm-hmm.
on the school premises.
Mm.
And I said, in fact,
right.
I would like to meet the teacher
Hold
before he or she even gets there.
They're good.
So, well, they didn't do that. They said, look, don't be getting
yeah,
in my face
it.
Like this. They couldn't handle it for so much.
But it's so crazy because
but they
as,
did.
As you – go ahead.
No, I was just going to end it by saying they did not notify me when the teacher was there. But – one of the children did. Well,
okay.
I shouldn't say that. One of the children told their parent, and their parent came. Because one of the first things I did was forget about talking to you. I went to the parents of the children.
Yeah.
And I told them the law. And so that's when the parent of the child notified me and
mm-hmm.
told me, you know, thank you very much. We got a teacher. I've spoken to the teacher. Great teacher. Thank you. But it goes back, if you don't know your rights, these people, and even though I knew my rights, they still tried to stop me.
Yeah.
And it was
but
only when I knew the law.
Exactly.
But that's one of the problems. One of the, like, even with what happened with George Floyd, so many of us was like, no, he has to get first-degree murder, second-degree murder, or whatever it was. I forgot what it was. Second or third, that's not enough. You're right. We do have to know our rights, and we have to be intelligent when we do things and strategic. I feel like you've said this many times, Daddy. You have to be strategic, because if they would have tried to get that man, that monster, the guy that murdered George Floyd, if they would have tried to get him on first-degree murder, he would have walked almost immediately.
Yeah.
Because they would have had the burden of proof is on the prosecutor. They would have had to prove
mm-hmm.
beyond a shadow of a doubt that he woke up in the morning and that he intended to kill George Floyd. Not that he intended to kill a black man. That he intended to kill George Floyd. And we were so angry, but we didn't realize the fact that he was even brought up on charges as a police officer was such a high ranking. I think he was, because he was training the other three. For the person that he was, for him to be brought on charges the way that he was, that was, you know, that's not the, it's not something that we should sit down and be like, oh my God, yes, this is great. But it is something that we have to recognize that it's significant. It is true, but we have to care to know our rights too. And I'm not saying that we don't care, but we cannot be afraid of not knowing. We can't be afraid of, because most of us will, like, what happened with you, Daddy? They try to scare you, and they try to scare you into not doing what you're supposed to do. And they figure if they stress you out enough that you're going to give up and you're like, forget it, never mind, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
There's too much hassle. But we
but
have
that's
to
what
care
they're
enough
banking
that
on.
Whatever they say doesn't matter. Exactly.
But that's,
banking that
that's what they're
stupid.
You know, it's crazy because even, Daddy, as you were telling the story, it just reminded me of the healthcare system and the stories that I can tell of just how interesting, you know, depending on the race, the social class, you know, and the presentation of the parents. Like, I'm just thinking about, there's numerous times where working in the emergency room of a hospital, I come across many different cultures. And one culture in particular, they would allow very similar situations. It would present a certain way, and they would allow so much to go on, and then get upset when you start to question the parents on certain situations. You know, for example, there was some cases that got called in to ACS. You know, I forgot the acronym, but it's like state services. So, like, they would present with fractures, or they would present with physical marks, or, you know, they would have present with a fall or whatever. But they picked and choose who they wanted to call for evaluation to determine if a call needed to be made to the state, for the state to determine if a case should be open. And it was interesting. It was so interesting because there's times that you may be running through the charts and seeing that they come in for a fracture, coming in to evaluate, and they're like, no, you don't need to be here to evaluate them. But yet they would call you in for other situations that were irrelevant and want you to call the case in. And it's like, it's so blatant, it's so obvious, the discrepancy that was there amongst races. And it's just very interesting. But as the worker and as, you know, as the person that is making the call, or, you know, using your clinical judgment not to make the call, you have to not feel bullied by the authority,
right,
or the people,
right,
that,
yep,
are telling you, you know, this is what needs to be done. You can't do it. You have to morally and ethically realize that you're in control, and if they decide to do what they decide to do, that's on them, but you're not going to be used as a pawn because you feel,
mm-hmm,
pressured to, and you don't know your rights as a worker, as the person that's making the call. You've got to know your rights, and you also got to have morals and,
mm-hmm,
ethics to back those rights up. But I just feel like people are just so scared to speak up and go against the grain. Like it's instilled in you that you have to just do what the person that is ahead of you, or that is your supervisor or your manager or your director ahead of you, is asking you to do. But being amongst those that are at the top, these are incompetent, the most incompetent individuals that you will ever meet. And it's a constant struggle, because it's like the people that made it on top for a reason. Not to downplay anybody who may be, you know, in management or in upper management, but in order to stay where you are, there are certain things that you have to take away from yourself and your morals and ethics, you know. And the reason I'm saying this is because I don't want those that are, you know, the workers or the people that are experiencing this, I don't want them to think that they're alone in this. And I want them to understand that they have choices in life. And that's what we have to start looking at. You have to make the choices that make you be able to look in the mirror in the middle of the night or in the morning, or you have to be able to sleep. It's the principles of Ma'a that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. You know, it's weighing the good from the bad and understanding that you're the one that lives with yourself and your conscience, and you know the way you feel about yourself, your morals and ethics. So you have to figure out what makes you happy and go with that, and what you feel is right and go with that, regardless of what anybody else is saying, and understand your rights, know what you're entitled to, and just keep moving forward.
You know, yep, what we're talking about.
And also have
about
a plan B. Oh, go ahead, Daddy.
No, I'll follow you, Sasha. You go ahead.
No, I just wanted to add to what Candace was saying. We also have to have a plan B, because a lot of people are afraid to say anything because they don't have anything else. It's just like a single mother or you know, you're the breadwinner or whatever the reason is. So they won't say anything because they feel like they say something, they're going to lose their job. So we also mm-hmm. have to realize our, what's the word? Our, oh, the word is like how important we are. Our
mm-hmm.
the significance that we put to the table, because a lot of us, and I've known people like this, a lot of us are the job. Without us,
mm-hmm.
nobody would be able to function. But we still,
mm-hmm.
they still convince us that we're not good enough by the salary that they give us, or by how they talk to us, or by the titles that they give us. A lot of people don't realize their significance when it comes to being a member of society. So we always have
yeah.
to have a plan B just in case, because I am fortunate, you know, to be able to say, if I don't want to be here, I can walk out tomorrow and be fine. But not everybody has that. Not everybody has that ability to be able to say, I can walk out tomorrow and be fine. Some people, that's, you know, that's the end all and be all of their existence. So we have
yeah.
to be more than just employees for somebody. We have to realize our relevance and our significance when it comes to being, you know, being relevant and being successful. So that if we do see something going on that's not right, we have the ability to walk away if we need to, because most of us don't have that.
Yeah, and figuring out what's relevant to you, what you know, what's important to you, not what necessarily what society is telling you is important.
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We have to trust ourselves, and we have to make
yep.
decisions for ourselves versus society telling us what needs to be done or said or, you know, or looked
mm-hmm.
at or what does an accomplishment mean to you? What does an accomplishment mean to you? What is your ultimate
mm-hmm.
happy? What is your true happiness? What is what makes you smile? What is what allows you to get through the day? You know, important questions
mm-hmm.
to ask yourself in order to determine if you're on the right road. And it's never too late to go down the right road to where you want to be and really honing into
mm-hmm.
where you want to be. And this is the perfect time. End of year 2020.
Yep.
Over, you know, in about 2 weeks, you know, This is the contemplation stage. This is the action stage. You know, this is when you gotta, and for some it's the maintenance stage. You know, you have to really understand that there's something that needs a change and then incorporate that change into your life. And, you know, if time and time again you do the same things and get the same results, you know, it's only going to take that, have I ever told you the story about the dog?
Uh-oh.
Daddy, tell that story, because you tell it the best.
Well, you know, to go to this concept that we're talking about, these past 4 years have got us prepared for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What we have gone through over these past 5 years has been so telling for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody identified themselves for exactly who they are and what they are.
Yeah.
Everybody has to take a stand. Some things were revealed over these past couple of years that have shown, and to go back to your conversation about being bullied, we had the biggest, now check out the hypocrisy here. We had the biggest bully
mm-hmm.
as the leader of this country, if not the world. While his wife, the first lady, was on a campaign against bullying.
Mm.
Think of that hypocrisy.
Isn't that happened with Rob? Didn't that happen with Ronald Reagan and his wife? Wasn't he the one that allegedly introduced drugs into black neighborhoods and his wife was against it?
Just say no.
That was
her slogan. Just say no to drugs. But at the
crazy.
Same time,
yep.
at the same time, they were organizing gangs of California to sell drugs to make money for
allegedly.
The war in
allegedly.
Nicaragua.
You gotta say allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. But you know it was found out. Hey, shoot, we found that out. But let's say allegedly, okay, just to keep us safe. Okay? The bottom line is real clear. The hypocrisy experiences. The things that we're going through. But the question that I ask people is, what are you doing? We can do all the time. I'm not waiting for no president to do anything for me.
Exactly.
See, this is that savior mentality. We're all looking for that savior. See, this is what Western civilization is built on. That's why the bully has so much power, because the bully comes to you as if he's your savior or she, when all the while they're abusing you. And so what we're looking at is a question of, at what point are you going to say, like when I was growing up, folk used to always say, you know, like when, you know, when I was growing up, you know, they want you to say uncle, you know, they want you to do what they want you to do. And one of the things that they would do is twist your arm.
Or mercy.
And say uncle, hell, have mercy, right? And, you know, when they used to catch me, the brothers used to say, look, you might as well break his arm because he ain't going to say nothing. There were times they twisted my arm so bad it took another person to untwist it. I couldn't untwist it on my own. They had my arm so twisted I could scratch the back of my neck.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Well, we know where we get our stubbornness from.
Well, you know, stubbornness and self, but righteous.
Yes.
I'm stubborn, but I'm willing to see another person's point the moment it makes sense to me, and I think that's one of my strengths.
Me too.
I know what makes sense, and if you show me something that makes more sense than what I think I have, I will adapt immediately to what you're telling me. That's a strength. And so, but if you're going to try to get me to say something or do something because you're trying to inflict your will on me, yo, let me tell you something. That don't work with me.
Yep.
It never worked with me throughout my life. You know, just you can do that with somebody else, but don't get in my face with that.
Because
the one thing I know about a bully is that they are afraid. They don't want to get hurt. So even if that bully was bigger and could hurt me, I'm going to get a couple good punches in on you. Or kick. Or I even bite you. I'll bite you.
All right now, Mike Tyson.
Hey. Who you talking to like that? You going to call me Mike Tyson? What makes you think I'm Mike Tyson? Listen. The question is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Which reminds me of a story, and I don't know if I ever told you this story about the dog. When I went to visit my friend, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden his dog was yelping and hollering and crying. And I looked down, I saw the dog, but, you know, my friend didn't say nothing to me, so I figured that it was all good. The dog kept yelping and crying and whatnot, and I said, no, but that seems how that dog is in pain. And so I sort of kind of looked closer, and then I noticed what was going on. I say, yo, man, you know your dog is laying on a plank of nails. And my friend said, yeah, I know. And when it hurts enough, he'll get up. So my question to us is, how long are we going to lay on this plank of nails? How long are we going to complain? Our young people are looking at us, and they're saying, yo, Pop, you marched 50 years ago. What make you think marching is going to work now? You marched 50 years ago. If you keep doing the same thing, expecting a change, you're in trouble.
You're crazy.
If it didn't work 50
That's
years
the
ago.
Of crazy.
But let me tell you something else. Malcolm X and Martin Luther King together had the answer. But Malcolm's answer had to come first before Dr. King. Dr. King was fighting for civil rights. Malcolm X was fighting for human rights. And the problem that we have with fighting for civil rights, thinking that it was the law, you can see these folk done twisted all the laws around. The same voting rights that were passed, they already turned that around. You see the immigration laws, they already turned that around. However, if we had been given human rights and the human rights was in the law, they could never have done it. See, folk are talking about adding amendments. To me, I tell sisters all the time, the fact that you need an equal rights amendment tells you you're not equal. Because if you was equal, it would be in the natural law. You shouldn't be fighting for equal rights.
It wouldn't even need to be said.
You ought to be fighting to rewrite the Constitution. Oh, then peoples of European descent rewrite the Constitution, our founding fathers. Well, damn, you know how many times you revised the Bible? If you can revise the word of God, I know you can revise the word of some old white fart.
Let
me get there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, when we stop and think about this, fam, my question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing? We have to get up off this plank of nails. You can hula, you can argue, fuss, fight, hoop and holler. Mm-hmm. But if you're still laying on the plank of nails, you're going to feel pain. Get up off the plank of nails.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what it is that you have to do. But most importantly, understand that one of the most inferior organisms on the planet is not all, but many people of European descent, both male and female. Because don't give European women a pass, because they don't want to give birth to the beast. What kind of mother have you been if you will raise a child who will grow to feel that you are inferior as a woman? What type of mother were you that allowed? See, sisters don't let that happen. Sisters will tell you, I brought you in, and I'll take you out. Don't bring that to my door. I didn't raise you like this. How many of our mothers, I didn't raise you like this. We ain't got time for this. But not only that, deeply steeped in the African tradition is the honor and respect for both male and female working in balance.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this. Let me say one more thing, then I'm going to stop right here because I think you got to play some music. Edwin Nichols, brilliant clinical psychiatrist, once told us a story that when he would go to show the importance of diversity in the workforce, because he worked in the corporate world as a clinical psychiatrist, he said, okay, I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't know exactly how he said it, but here's basically what he said. He said he gave everybody in the corporation a test. And what he said was he found that there were questions everybody got right. There were some questions that only the men got right. There were some questions that only the women got right. So he just said to us, what's the moral of this story? If you only have men, there are going to be some mistakes that you're going to make because you don't have women. If you have all women, you're going to have some mistakes because there are some things that only men, the male energy, can bring forward. But when you have a diverse group of people, everything gets done. So what is the answer? The answer is everybody has a place at the table. And it wasn't meant for no one person. It wasn't meant for European males. Don't bring your insecurities, your inferiorities, your fragility to me. I don't have time. We have to raise a nation.
There we go.
We got to work for our children yet to be born.
Whoa.
Okay.
It's true. And on that
we
end,
in Times Square.
I chose the song, the Midway song, because I forgot to play it for Thanksgiving. But every time I hear the song,
don't give it away.
All right, all right. But it's relatable for the holiday season coming up. You know, Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year's.
It's one of the
Hanukkah, if you,
it's
if
one
you
of the
celebrate that
songs.
As well.
So,
one of the blackest
songs you'll ever hear in your life.
One
of
the blackest songs you'll ever hear in your life. All right.
DJ Sasha.
We'll be right back. Look at it. Look. Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it. Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, chicken, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, greens. Beans, 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 potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, chicken, turkeys, beans, 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 potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys. You name it! You name it! You name it! You name it! Greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, chicken, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, greens, potatoes. Beans, 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 greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, chicken, turkeys, beans, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys. You name it. You name it. You name it. You name it.
You name it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, green.
I mean,
please send that to me. I saw the video of that.
Hilarious.
That, wow. Send that to me. I definitely want that on my iPod.
Okay.
That's funny.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Wow.
I was laughing.
But
the whole
makes it
even
funnier, you know,
is that this was a testimony. This was like in church, and she was just saying it, and they created a song out of it.
Oh,
that's
Pastor
what makes
Shirley.
It the best,
oh, Pastor Shirley.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh,
it's
hilarious.
Love it.
That is hilarious. Oh. So this, you know,
best
this show
ever.
Really was supposed to be like this song, just to make everybody feel good. We just watched the movie This Christmas with Chris Brown, and it really is amazing, like watching family and watching how we are with holidays and how we can get together. And it's sad that we all don't have the opportunity to get together the way we normally do, but it's just amazing, like just to see how Black people, no matter what we go through, there's nothing that stops Black people. No matter what kind of hood you live in, you still can come together and you know, no matter what happens. You know, sometimes bad things happen, but they can happen anywhere. But the fact that people can get together and not have anything and create, even on the plantation, have the worst of everything and create things that white people will come into Black neighborhoods to eat is amazing. You know, when I go to restaurants that are, now I'm not a fan of restaurants that are not Black. Like, the cook is not Black and the restaurant is not, you know, not seasoned. I'm not a fan of it, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but when I sit down, I don't want to have to pretend to be like bougie and to pretend like I'm not loud. I am very loud, and when I go places, you know, I'm not obnoxious.
Oh,
but
we all know it. We all know you're loud.
Shut your mouth. I know you're not talking. Anyway,
why do I have to go somewhere and pretend to be like I'm the queen of England or something? Like, I don't enjoy that. I want to go to a restaurant where we can have a drink, we can have a good time, we can have good food, good music. That's what's most important. And the fact that we can do that, we can have these things and we can have these experiences no matter what we're going through as a community and as individuals, no matter what we've gone through in history, no matter how bad it has seemed, and we will always be on the better side of the spectrum, no matter how impoverished certain neighborhoods may be, no matter how people get treated spiritually and as a human being, the fact that we can be who we are and still hold on to our humanity, I feel like I wrote a whole story on it. I'd pick the struggles of being black over anything, any day of the week, of the year, of the century. Being a black person and realizing that I still have a certain type of humanity in me, and that my direction is not, as you talk about, I'm not people to material things. The fact that I can be, the fact that that's the way it is, I don't care what we go through as black people, we will always be better off. And that's one of the biggest jealousies, and that's one of the biggest fuelers of fragility that certain communities have, because they will never be okay being a human. They have to be in control, they have to be in power, they have to have money. But black people can live in the project and be happy for their whole life because they have family, because they have, you know, experiences, because they're just able to be who they are. And I'd pick that any day of the week. Like, there's nothing in the world like being, especially being a black American person. And I'm not just talking about black as in, like, even for Caribbean people, even for being, you know, if you're black and you live in Britain, like, all the different types of people that are considered black, and not just, well, black Americans because I'm one, but just being black in general. It's such a blessing. Even when it seems like it's not, even when the Bible tells you that the reason why black people are cursed is because of this and that, there is nothing more significant. And Ma Rainey's Black Bottom just came on the TV because it's a screensaver for Netflix with Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis, two of the most amazing actors on the planet. When you look at their performances in comparison to other people that are considered great, there is nothing in the world, and that's one of the reasons why people keep trying to make it seem like black people are insignificant. Because the only way to control the best of the best of the best humans is to make them seem like they're insignificant. So as we round out the year, I am so honored to have been born black. Thank you, Daddy and Mommy, for being black people.
you're very welcome.
You're welcome.
But you know, when people would want to give me compliments, my mother would always say, like when they would say something good about me and I was getting all puffed up about it, my mother would say, "You're welcome." Because she always say, "Whatever you are, it's because I made you like that." So
exactly.
You're welcome.
That's true.
Right. The morals and ethics that you instilled in us.
Thank you.
But, you know,
even when it seemed like it was the worst thing in the world, when you're a teenager and you're like, "Oh, when am I moving out?" Now it's like, "All right, I just
put
my hands where my eyes can see.
I'll bring the food.
I'll bring the food. Can you please cook it?"
Okay.
"I will supply the food. Just cook me some dinner."
My thing is very clear.
Goodness.
Just like you said, this conversation was really meant to be positive, because the holidays will be upon us, and I'm not sure what will happen in 2 weeks, if we'll be together 2 weeks, but that'll be Kwanzaa. Mm. We'll already be in Kwanzaa by the next time we're scheduled to do a program. And what I want to just leave the community with, the African-American community with, that we have had a very painful history. We have been through a great deal, having existed or coexisted with a group of the most evil organisms, the most viral virus We've had to coexist with them. But just reflect on the fact that if you're listening right now and you can hear this, there's every reason for you to celebrate the fact that you're still here. It's very important for us never to lose that, that we get so caught up in the pain that we don't see the celebration. The fact that we're still here. You know, your great-grandmother, great-grandma Gwen, your mother's mother, used to always say, what don't kill you will make you stronger. Pandemic. We will be stronger, wiser, kinder, better, smarter for having gone through this experience. Now, some of us may not. But for those that have learned and had 2020 and had clear vision this year, you see what's going on. We are in a soft, a cold civil war right now. And America has turned back their rug and the roaches are scattering. And what we have to do as the black folk is get ourselves together, establish ourselves, and realize you don't take power from somebody else. They don't have the power you want. If they had the power you want, you wouldn't have lost it in the first place. You have the power to do whatever you need to do. And the only person that will ever stop you from achieving your goal is you and our ancestors and our people. Have proven that. Look at what we have done over the past 400 years. We are great. We're not great because we're black, although that's part of it. We're great because we are a group of human beings that have been brought through pain and suffering. But despite and in spite of that, still we rose. Still we did everything we needed to do. And still, like you say, Sasha, we can gather on 138th Street in the Bronx and fiesta every weekend. I'm definitely afraid of going up that block in the summertime. You know, for the family that don't know what I'm talking about, sometimes I'm going to a location, you know, to pick up Sasha or Caress, our grandson and Sasha's son, and they block off streets, and there's only one way to be able to get to a certain place. The thing is, when you turn up that block, the community of Spanish-speaking Africans and English-speaking Africans, they have a fiesta every Saturday and Sunday, and they convert a city street into one big get-down party for us to be able to do
and you
that.
You will not
I
pass.
Salute us. And I'm scared because everybody in the street. And I'm saying, oh, my
and
goodness.
And you can't pass.
No, you can't. They're all there.
And they look at you. And they look at you like, what are you doing over here? Like, it's not a street.
Yeah. And, I mean, they have, I remember Halloween. They were out there on Halloween. And they was in their costumes, young and old, playing music, dancing.
Playing
bands
music.
Bands were out.
Yep.
What manner of human are we that could be put through this pain? And yet still find time to enjoy life, to love life, and to love each other. So I salute us as we go into the end of 2020 and going into 2021. I salute you, S-O-U-L-U-T-E. I salute you for coming into the 2020-21. And I also send my regards and prayers to all those that didn't make it, that would have liked to have been here. But the Creator and the ancestors decided that they just wanted to call you home because there's some work that we have to do. I look forward to your return and identify yourself so I'll know that you're an ancestor come back.
There we go.
Well,
be proud.
On that note, yep. Gotta
be
continue
proud,
to
family.
Be proud. Be yourself. Be who you want to be. Be your authentic, unapologetic, amazing, beautiful self.
And get the hell up off the plank of nails.
That's right. There we go.
Nobody say nothing. That's the end. That's the end. That's it. Nobody else say anything. That's it.
That's right. Well, do we have a song for the people?
Happy holidays.
Yes, we do. Everybody.
We got a impromptu.
You got to
sing "Lift Every Voice."
Voice a little deeper. Hey,
the last time we did this, we were singing redemption song. So don't start me now.
Mm-hmm.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Hey. Hey, I'll get into some Nat King Cole now. So stop.
Listen, you in the wrong profession. You should have been one of them singers. You in the wrong profession.
Oh, wait a minute, I'm gonna hit Luther soon. I'm going for Luther Vandross soon. Don't pump me up. Come on now, you know what we can do here. And by the way, if I had known better, I would have. You know, Teddy Pendergrass has a song called Kwanzaa, which is a very interesting song. He's the only major artist that I know has ever done, and he really did a great song. It's called Kwanzaa, for those of you who would be interested.
Man.
Google it. It's a nice piece of work. So happy Kwanzaa, everybody. Happy holidays in whatever form you
happy
celebrate.
Happy Kwanzaa. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Right.
All
whether
of
you celebrate
Merry
all
Christmas.
You
happy Hanukkah to my Hebrew Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we say 5 minutes ago, let that be the last thing we said? You see what it is?
Oh,
we can't help
wait.
Us.
Sorry. And but you started singing. You started singing.
And another thing is right.
We couldn't let that slide. We couldn't let that slide. You started singing.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Okay. Stop. Everybody stop.
All right.
That's it. I'm done.
Let's
be done.
Happy Tootin's Day and Hotep and have a wonderful holiday, everyone.
And we'll be back in the new year, January. So happy holidays.
Yes, we'll be back. Happy holidays and happy new year.
Happy new year.
Happy new year, Mom.
Happy new year, fam.
I'm going back
happy
to
new
the
year.
South. I'm going back, where my roots ain't watered down. Growing like a baobab tree of life on fertile ground. Ancestors put me on game. I'm on gold chains with my old shoon in a jail. Just follow me. I'm sweat out of she keep fresh. Hold up, don't I? Tell I? Touch her. Not chop by instant. Yeah, pure ice. Bust down. Bloody. For my miss.
Chit chat,
and sisters on the wall, let the ghost chit chat.
Hold my hands, we gon' pray together. Lay down, face
speaker. Ooh. Need peace and reparation for my people. Fuck these ladies, I'ma let it trip all up. Motherland, trip on me.
Money come from my way.